You know, the last two sessions, I've started off the service by making mention of the story of the centurion. And the reason why I've chosen that story is because there's so many facets you can teach from that story, but it's also the way we see what great faith looks like. How faith operates from its most foundational standpoint to actually acting out that which one believes and understands. But another facet that I want you to look at here is, remember that when the centurion was moving in faith, there was a servant that was in need. So he wasn't acting on faith or in faith for himself. He was having faith for his servant. So one of the reasons I believe that Jesus commended him on the great faith was not just understanding the authority, but the fact that he had matured enough to where he realized that everything in faith isn't about you. As a matter of fact, can I go a step further and say, everything in faith is never about you. Why do you say that, Bishop? Because it says, seek ye first the kingdom. So everything has to be about kingdom first. Can't be about you first. Now, it might be about you, but it can't be first. Kingdom has to be first. That centurion simply said, if you'll heal my servant. He was serving him. That's kingdom agenda. When you love God and you love each other, the two greatest commandments in that order. And so he was loving someone else more than he was loving himself. He was caring more for someone else over his own needs. I don't know about you, but if you had Jesus standing there right there and you could say, listen, Jesus, what do I need? You could think of a million things you need. So if you only get one thing, would you take that one thing for someone else or would you take it for yourself? Think about it. Okay, we'll say a genie pops out of the bottle. Y'all understand it better that way. You get one wish. You're going to make it for somebody else or you're going to make it for yourself? Things that make you go, I'm telling you, that man had the audience of Jesus. And of all the things, I'm sure he had needs in his life. I'm sure there's all kinds of things that he would like to have had straightened out in his life for himself. But instead, he chose to choose his servant. That is mature faith. That is great faith. So not only did he have faith, not only did he keep faith, because he did all the way and journey home to see that his servant was well, but he also had mature faith. So I want to start there because I want to make a statement and I want you to listen to me and I want you to hear this. For every moment that there is a realization of doubt, there is also a corresponding opportunity at the same moment to respond in faith. So the same time you experience doubt, there's also an opportunity to respond in faith. And can I say that what you do in that moment will ultimately decide whether you finish or diminish in faith. Do you want to finish or do you want to diminish? Do you want to stay or do you want to delay? At that moment, the great apostle Paul that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, simply said this, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. He kept it. He finished. Now, there's points I could go back in there and probably show you some delays. And he taught us from those moments. All I know is he finished. And so faith has to result in the finished work of Christ. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to hear me. Faith begins at the finished work of Christ. Go to the cross. Where did Jesus leave it? It is finished. Well, with him, it was finished. for us, it began. So faith begins where Christ finished, the finished work of cross. Also, because it's finished, everything in faith is based on his word that he finished, so we also finish by the finished work. Are you tracking me? What I'm trying to tell you is we make faith too hard. Faith is simple. It starts and ends where Christ finished. If it's finished with him, it's finished with you. So now, not only, going back to Sarah, do we keep the faith, and do we mature in the faith, but now I want to talk a little bit about the next level of faith. If you will, open up your Bibles to Luke 17, verse 1. I'm going to read from the NIV. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble and bound to come, woe to anyone through which they would come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves." Now, we're in a chapter that almost appears as if it was heading towards condemnation. Isn't it the way it sounds? Now, I didn't say it did. I said it seems to be heading that way, doesn't it? Woe to that person. It would be worse than a millstone around their neck and cast into the sea. So it's looking pretty bad. Then the next paragraph says, "If your brother," here comes the lesson, "or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, 'Repent.'" In the KJV, it's 70 times. It's what that means is the same synonymous term as infinity. It doesn't matter how many times they come to you. You're supposed to, what does it say? You must forgive them, it says. You must forgive them. Now, could you understand, we're talking about a message of grace here, right? Christ is trying to explain the grace message. Heading towards condemnation, then all of a sudden, if someone sins against you, you have to forgive them. That means Christ has to forgive you. So we see the message of grace not just passing through Christ, but also passing through each other as servants of the Most High God. And right here in the message of grace, the apostles say to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Now, we were in a message of grace, and the apostles somehow translated and transitioned into a message of faith. Are you tracking? We're talking about grace, and they said in order to have the grace, you have to increase our faith. So faith and grace have to be tied together. So Jesus is trying to explain this to them, and then he gives one of the probably most well-known stories in the Bible. He talks about the mustard seed. "If you have faith as small as," underline that in your Bible, "as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted into the sea,' and it has to obey you." It will obey you, depending on the translation you're using. So what is this scripture really saying? I've heard this sermon taught a thousand ways. I've even preached it myself, and we get off on the mustard seed, and boy, all the magic of the mustard seed, and oh, what the mustard seed can do, and how it does. Follow the context of the teaching. They ask for increased faith. That means more faith. That means an amount. He's talking about amount. We need more of something. Jesus said, "Let me tell you this. You're going to talk about amounts. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to talk in a parable so you can understand how much faith you really need." Now, if you just had faith as small as a mustard seed, I'm not talking about a mid-sized portion of faith, certainly not talking about great faith. I'm talking about, you know how small a mustard seed is? That's what he's talking. It's not how it's compared to the other seeds. He just knows, everybody knows that a mustard seed, you ever seen one? It's like very, very small. You can hardly see the little guy. He said, if you just had that much faith, then you could say to that mulberry tree over there, you could be uprooted. So what is he saying? It doesn't matter what seed has been planted in your life. And it doesn't matter what it's produced. All you need is just a little bit of faith. Not a moderate amount, not a great amount. You just need just that little bit. If you can just deal with a little bit of faith, you can uproot that thing and let it be planted in the sea. You plant something in the sea, it dies. It withers. It wilts. In other words, you can uproot it and destroy it so it can no longer affect your life. Look at your neighbor and say, that's next level stuff. Because see, this kind of forgiveness is hard to do. But if you can't see that this doesn't require a great amount of faith, it requires a great amount of grace. Remember, the chapter started in grace, and they tried to move it to faith. He said, no, you just need a little bit of faith and a whole lot of grace. Somebody say, oh me, amen something. But if you have, when you're giving the grace that you were required to give, because Jesus said you are required to forgive them, and you're dealing with this in your life, if you don't deal with it, you're going to have a lot of mulberry bushes in your life. You're going to have a lot of things growing in your life and producing that don't need to be there, a lot of bad seeds, and they're going to be destroying your life because they're going to choke out the life. Don't have time to go into Mark 4 right now about the seeds, but one will choke out the word in your life. So you have to watch what's being planted in your life. When we walk in unforgiveness, when we walk in strife, when we walk in irritation and aggravation, we're dropping seeds, man. And those seeds are making bushes and trees, and they're taking root, and they're producing fruit that we don't need to bear. We are told which fruit to bear, and we are told what bad fruit looks like. So we don't need to be bearing those bad fruits. And so what Jesus is saying, no, you don't need more faith. What you need is just to focus on the little bit of faith you have and realize, see, there's no magic in the mustard seed. There's just potential. In that tiny little seed, there's all kinds of potential. And then he explains it, because then, you know, they can grow up, and the birds of the air can nest in. I mean, there's all kinds of potential in this little seed. Well, so it is with your faith. There's no magic in faith. There's just potential. And even in the smallest amount of your faith, you think your faith's not enough. You don't think you have enough. Let me tell you something. If you could just use the little bit you have, you can start uprooting the things in your life that are growing, that are causing you grief, causing you aggravation, causing you problems, and you can start forgiving the people around you. I'm not talking to anyone in particular, but you know these folks. The whole world's against them. Everything's bad, bad, bad. It can't be bad all the time because it's really good over here. And God's no respecter of persons, so he's not just going to be good here and bad there. No, God's good everywhere. And so you need the faith to be able to forgive the people that you think are against you, because you're going to find out that they're not. If I come up to you and I scowl at you, are you going to hug me? If I talk mean to you because I think you don't like me, are you going to talk nice to me? But if you have no realization of what you're doing, and you're looking at the people around you, everybody's mean to you. Everyone ignores you. No one invites you to do anything. I don't know about you, but I don't like to pet rattlesnakes. But if I just had faith, next level faith. Just that little bit. I just got to use a little bit and take all that potential and that little bit of faith and get it working in my life. my whole life can change. That's what he's trying to teach these disciples. Nothing wrong with praying for more faith. What good is great faith if you're not even using the little faith you have? You know, I need to buy a tractor. Use the 22-inch and cut your front yard. We'll talk about the tractor later. So Jesus is trying to get this message across. Focus is not about the mustard seed, it's about the size. Small, talking about the amount. So, I want you to understand what I said, though. There's no magic in faith. Some people treat it like it's a magic act. Faith, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Jesus is not talking literal. He's talking in parables. How do I know that? Because it said he teaches in parables. So the spiritual people would get it. And, you know, the middle people would stay confused. So he's talking to us spiritual folks. And faith is used to remove the obstacles in our life. If you have something that's blocking you in your life, if you have something that's resisting you in your life, if God has already spoken a word to you that takes you beyond the obstacle, then your faith is already prepared to remove that obstacle. Now, if you are praying for something to move and God's word has not called you beyond that obstacle, but instead God has put that as a barrier, it's a safeguard. You're not to move past that obstacle, because if you go in that direction, there's something bad on the other side. So sometimes we think God's resisting our faith. No, he's protecting us by faith. Our steps are ordered. But if you are in order and you are operating in God's spirit, following God's word, and he has called you and shown you a place in faith to be, then you have even the smallest amount of faith will uproot anything in your path, and we create a trail that you can walk through that you don't have to fight. You don't have to do one thing, but just follow and walk it out. And that's what Jesus is trying to convey to these disciples. Let's go. We can't stop there. We got to keep moving. You see, when I say there's no magic in faith, that it's the potential, just like it was in that mustard seed, in that little bit, that potential is just a little bit of your faith. See, something should be jumping in the inside of you right now, because what happens is that opens up opportunity for you. See, I didn't think that could be changed. Man, I never thought that was a reality. I never thought that could even be moved. I never thought that was could be dealt with. I thought that was impossible. I thought I just had to live with that. Show me a scripture where you just have to live with it. For every scripture you try to show me that, I'll show you 10 that show you that you're more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and your testimony. You will overcome. You will uproot. You will tear down. You will pull down strongholds. It's always talking about affirmatives, about who you are and what you can do in faith, not what you can't do. The emphasis is not on what you can do. It's you can do all things, not something, not few things. You can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Through the order of God. Through the Spirit of God, in faith in God. And then when you're in that faith and you keep that faith and you walk in that faith and you mature in that faith, the next level of faith is realizing the potential that you have in your faith. Because if you realize that even in the smallest part of your faith that you can overcome the greatest obstacles in your life, you should never worry another day in your life. Oh, that deserves at least an amen, a clap, something. obviously, we got to go back to the scriptures. Let's continue. We're reading in Luke 17. Let's move down to the next portion of the story. It says, and as it came to pass, he went to Jerusalem, and there he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We're back to the grace message. Master, show us your grace. Have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. He gave them a word, a directive from the word. And the magic, here's when it happens right here. And it came to pass. He gave them a word, and it came to pass. He told them, go show yourselves to the priest, and it came to pass. You're going to realize once Jesus says something, it comes to pass. But when did it come to pass? As they went. Underline it, circle it in your Bibles, because it didn't come to pass until they went. They could have stood there, screamed and shouted and cried and bawled, got on their knees all day long, but as soon as the word came, they went. So somewhere we got to get out of the asking into the hearing. We got to get into the hearing and into the action, because until we walk it out, as they went, it came to pass. The word was promised, but it wasn't until they went that it happened. Are you clear on that? I could preach all day. I should make a sermon, as they went. I could preach for 2 hours on as they went. Why? Because it's faith and action. And for every action in faith, there's an equal opposite reaction in the spirit to comply with the demand that faith just made. Do you understand that? Every time you make an action in faith, automatically there is a reaction in the spirit that has to comply with that which faith has instructed. And that part has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God's promise. So I'm going to say it this way. You got to walk it. You're walking it out while God's working it out. Say, I'm walking it out while God's working it out. That's it. If you make faith any harder than that, you're making it too difficult. Everybody understand that? Okay, so I want to make a statement to you. Every step in faith is a step you take for God. Remember, a step in faith is not for you. It's for God. Why? Because you're seeking kingdom first. And as you're doing kingdom, it said then all those other things are added. But the first step can't be for you. It has to be for God. I want to leave that so bad I can't. God will not let me get off it, because this, I believe, is where we struggle the most. I know even in my own personal life, because so many times I want to make it about me. Now, I know you guys are so much more mature than that. You would never do that. You would say, God, you first. I, thou a servant, mightest sufferest for the causes of the things that you desireth. Is it really that way, or is it like, Lord, you got to help me. Oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I don't know about you, but that's the kind of prayers I've been praying. And I got to repent right now in front of everybody. My foot hurts, I say it hurts. But what I'm learning in faith is I need to do a lot less talking and a whole lot more listening when I'm doing my prayer. Who am I talking to this morning? If he already knows what I have need of before I pray, why am I spending so much time telling him what's wrong? So instead of me spending all the time telling God what he already knows is wrong, I'm already saying, God, what do you need to tell me to make it right? So a faith-filled prayer is one that's moving towards solution. not focused on problem. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? This is next level faith stuff. And this is what he's teaching us in his word here. This is what this whole chapter is trying to teach us. And we see it says, as they went, boom, all of a sudden, it says they were cleansed. Now, I don't know how much you know about leprosy, Hansen's disease. It's a very aggressive disorder. It actually is flesh-eating. We think these flesh-eating bacteria or something, that's a walk in the park compared to these guys. I mean, fingers fall off, feet fall off, arms fall off. It just eats part of your bodies away. So I don't know, but it sounds like these guys have had this for a long time. So I'm sure they were disfigured. You know, they might have been missing some ears. I don't know, but I know they were probably disfigured at this point. And then all of a sudden, he says, go show yourself to the priest. You're cleansed. Now, if you have a flesh-eating bacteria or flesh-eating disease and it's destroying your body and it stops, that's a miracle. I don't know about you, but I don't care if it's cancer or whatever it is. When it stops and it's remits and it's healed, come on, man, that's a praise God moment right there. That's a thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful. I'm so happy. The problem. Is we need to see what transpired. When the centurion was in faith, boom, there was a 180 degree moment in his life. An instant turnaround. We see right here, 10 lepers walking, heard the word, were told as they went, 180 in their life. It wasn't days, it wasn't hours, it wasn't minutes. It was a boom right now, turnaround, healing in their life. Now, I don't know about you, but if God gives me a right now turnaround moment, I got some praising to do. I got some worship I got to give him. Matter of fact, I'm going to probably lose my ever-loving Pentecostal mind because I'm going to be spinning and dancing and shouting because he did it right now, turn around in my life. I recognize it, and I'm going to get a little bit excited about it. Pardon me if you don't like the way I'm acting, but I've got some praising to do. Why? Because my heart is grateful. So let's review what happens here. They had leprosy. They received a word. They obeyed the word. Then they went and they were cleansed. Faith isn't complicated, but it does require action. That's faith. But we got to talk about next level faith. That's good faith. That's awesome faith. But there's another level. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to go to the next level. 10 lepers heard the word of the Lord and were cleansed. But verse 15 said in the same chapter, and one of them, just one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a quiet voice he whispered. Is that what it says? What's that say? A loud voice, sounds like a shout to me. A loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he wasn't even a believer. And Jesus answered him and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They're not found. They returned to give glory to God, except a stranger. And he said to him, the unbeliever, in other words, the non-Christian, the non-church person, he looked at him and said, okay, arise, gives him another word. Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. From what? Something he did. Thy faith. Next level faith. See, the next level of faith is when you return the praise for the thing that God just did. And he takes you, watch this, not just to healing, but he took him to restoration. Okay. They were all disfigured. 9 lepers walk around healed, but they're still disfigured. This one comes back and gives praise. Poop, 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 poop. He's made whole. Ears came back. Fingers came back. Legs came back. Everything was restored. I don't know about you. I don't just want to be healed. Come on, church. Why are we going to let unbelievers be grateful? And we can't fall at the feet of Christ. We can't celebrate what God just did for us today. How are we going to get to the next level? We might get healed. We might be doing better. But I want to be restored. And the only way you're going to get restored is when you praise his name. When you return faith. Somebody ought to be shouting right now. Somebody ought to be just praising his name right now. Come up here to this piano right now. Somewhere we got to get the revelation of who God is and what God's done in his life. If you want a 180 turnaround in your life, if you want something, boom, right now to happen, then it's dependent upon your praise. Come on, somebody say, I can't settle for just healing. I can't settle for just things getting better. I can't settle for things just getting improved. I'm grateful and I'm happy about those things, but I want to be restored. Come on, somebody say, I want it all. I want everything God has for me. If you do, you better praise him right now. You got to praise your way to the next level. You can't talk it. You can't pray it. You can't read your Bible to get there. You've got to praise him. You've got to be grateful. You've got to release your praise and your worship toward heaven. Anybody need to turn around in here today? Come on. Are you healed, but are you restored? Your bank account looks better, but is it really restored? Your relationships, yeah, you're getting along, but is it restored? There's only one way. It's praise. It's worship. As they went, they did what it took to get what was needed. If you want to turn around, you have to do what it takes to get what you need. And the only thing that will get you there is praise. We don't just do praise and worship so we can spin you up and set you up for a sermon. It's your chance to come out of the ordinary walk of faith and take it to the next level. There were probably a lot of people standing around when he said in a loud voice, when he fell down at his feet, didn't say he eased down and bent over. Collapsed on the feet of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Do you think he cared what people thought? The moment that doctor told me that my son was 100% free from cancer, I can guarantee you right now, everybody at UAB heard this young man. My leg was kicking. I was dancing. I went through the hallway. I didn't care because I was grateful. And I wasn't just going to let my son get healed. He's going to be restored. And I'm telling you, I'm going to praise him every day because I know he's faithful to watch over his word to perform it. I just wish somebody give him some praise in here today. Oh! I can't be quiet about it anymore. I can't hold it in any longer. I can't just keep it cooped up inside, because somebody's destiny is on the line. If I don't praise, somebody here is not getting healed. If you don't shout, the person next to you may not get the full restoration God's promised. It ain't always about you. Sometimes it's about other people. So right now, I'm just going to praise. I don't care who's looking. I don't care if you like it or don't like it. Somebody needs to be restored, and I'm going to be the one to help get it done. Hey, I praise you, God. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I praise you openly and unashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you dare walk up to me after service and say, Bishop, will you pray for me? No! You praise yourself there. You don't need my prayer. You don't need me to lay hands on you. You need to praise God and thank Him for what He's already done. You want healed today? Praise Him right now. You want restored? Praise Him right now. You want to see a change in your life? Right now. It's not going to happen until you do it. As they went, as you go to praise, that's when it happens. I'm just not comfortable doing that. Then you're not going to receive. Because that's just how it works. Somewhere you get to the point in life that you care more about the life of others than you do your feelings of yourself. I've said things and done things and acted ways I never thought I'd say, do, or act. But it was all to the glory of God. And because I've been willing to do that, I've seen miracles all over the world. But I would much rather see it happen in your life, in your life, in your life, in your life. But how are we going to see Him if we don't know how to get there? The way we do it is going to the next level of faith. Well, I don't know if I have the faith to do it just this much. This much. You ever seen a mustard seed? That's all you need. There's no special portion of faith going to float down from the atmosphere and find you. You already have enough in you to overcome anything that you need to have done in your life. Say, Lord, uproot some things in my life. Lord, help me to respond to the measure of faith that you have given me so I can glorify you in all that I do. Lord, I will have faith, keep faith, mature in the faith, and I will finish in faith, and I will finish my course. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Now praise Him like you mean it. Praise Him like you see it done. Praise it like He just got through doing it. Oh! What you don't realize is somebody here is only one shout away from a turnaround. Somebody's just one praise away from a life change. just one moment of gratefulness outwardly to release you from your past. You're that close. This close. Say, little faith, a lot of praise. Little faith, a lot of praise. So what's it going to take to overcome everything in your life? Little faith, a lot of praise. What's it going to do to get you to the next place in God? Little faith, a lot of praise. What's it going to do to overcome the obstacles in your life? Come on then, let's see you praise Him. Let's hear you praise Him. Do you have the faith to praise Him? I said, do you have the faith to praise your God? Right here in front of everybody. Everybody's watching. Hey! I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you are doing and have done in my life. I am grateful. Praise and worship should never be the same in this church again. James said, the Apostle James, I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, the things I do. Well, I'll show you my faith by the way I praise. I can watch how you praise on Sunday morning, and I will see where you are in your faith. When we get to this building and this praise and worship team gets up here, it is your moment to take it to the next level. I don't want to operate in just normal faith anymore. Even though it's a good place and I'm grateful for it, I got to see God's best. Anybody here just got to have God's best now. I love the milk, but man, I love the meat. It just takes a little bit more. It requires a little bit more, because who much is given, much is required. So the requirement goes up. If you want to move in the next level of faith, there's some more you have to do. And sometimes you got to talk to these bodies. You say, well, I'm tired. Well, eventually you'll get tired of being tired and you'll praise. Well, I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable doing all that. There will be a time when life will compress you so much that you'll stop worrying about what people are thinking around you. The last thing you'll remember is how you felt about it. How you feel and how faith operates are polar opposites. Faith works by what you do, not by what you feel. I don't know how you're feeling. Look at your neighbor and say, it doesn't matter. If you're feeling good, what are you supposed to do? Praise. If you're feeling bad, what are you supposed to do? Praise. Anybody breathing in here? Take a deep breath in. I heard everybody breathing. Let everything that has breath. What you're waiting on? What everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. If you still got breath in your lungs, you still got praise, it means you still can activate your faith and you can come out of any circumstance you're in if you praise your way out of it. Come on, he's taking us to the next level, church. Somebody say, God, turn it around. For me, for my family, for my friends, for my church, God, take us to the next level of faith. Come on, one more big shout of praise, guys. Come on. Come on, give him up the best praise you got. Come on, the best praise you got before we close this out today. Come on, let him know you heard him. Let him know that you understand. Let him know that you're not going to settle for less anymore. Let him know you're ready to go to the next place in your life. Come on, you're not backing down. You're not giving up. Instead, you're rising up. Come on, give him praise.